You're traveling through another dimension, a dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Casey here with Dave, and we're the football dudes. Dave, are you ready, bro?
You got that right, my friend.
All right, might as well jump right into our next stop, The Trend Zone. In today's episode, we ain't talking about love, but we will talk about the COVID impact on the season, the biggest surprise teams so far, good and bad, the first coaching casualty, a little survivor, fantasy go-back starts of the week, and some of the most awesome games from the upcoming week. But you better look out now, because Dave's got something for you. Dave, is it lemonade, Dixie cups, all flavors, push-ups too?
No, Casey, just a tasty nug.
Right.
All right, Casey, the offense has been outstanding so far this year. Teams have combined for 371 total touchdowns, 359 of them offensive touchdowns as passing and rushing combined, and 3,233 total points. That's the most in the NFL history through week four, dude. It has been fireworks. That's for sure.
They're just going to cancel preseason and training camp.
Let
on the NFL is loving this. But, Dave, you know the old saying goes, defense wins championships. And yep, the Colts, the Chiefs, the Niners, and the Ravens, and the Steelers are all holding their opponents to under 20 points a game. Wow.
Yeah, and four of the five there actually have winning records, Casey. So you're right. Defense still matters in a fantasy-driven NFL. Defense still matters, man.
All right, Dave, let's get to some of these top trending stories. Yep. And it took us a couple weeks, but we finally saw the impact that COVID is having on the 2020 NFL season.
Yeah, we had to obviously reschedule a couple of football games. One just pushed back a day there, but the other one rescheduled until week 7 or 8 or whatever. Had to do some manipulating of the schedule there as the Titans had an outbreak there, Casey. But the good news, they got it resolved, and they haven't, you know, expanded the season or gotten into any, you know, huge disaster areas. But and also the Titans have no new positives. That is back-to-back days without any positives for players or team personnel. They're still waiting from the league to hear when they can get back to work, but it does sound like the coaching staff has a great plan, and they're absolutely ready to go. They're just hoping to get back in there tomorrow.
Yeah, NFL starting to get ready to hammer teams that aren't complying with the COVID restrictions.
No doubt.
And just popped up today, dude, a second New England player has tested positive, just a practice squad guy. He did not go to Kansas City, and he did not have close contact with Cam. So we'll see what that means moving forward. But the NFL is strict. They're like, isolate, fool. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
It's a little bit scary that this guy didn't have contact with Cam. So he didn't speculatively get it from Cam, which means that who knows, man. Let's just hope this thing, you know, they can, you know, get rid of it now. Jeez.
Yeah, definitely, man. We don't want the season disrupted, especially I know a handful of teams that would maybe say, oh, let's get a restart on this, Dave. We still have a few teams looking for their first win of the season.
Yeah, winless teams, Atlanta, the Giants, the Texans, and the Jets, dude. Woeful starts for those squads.
And on the flip side of that, we're still rocking with 6 undefeateds, bro.
Yeah, Seattle, Green Bay, Tennessee, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Pittsburgh, all with no blemishes on their record, dude. Wow.
All right, Dave, so we got the first quarter of the season. It's over, and I want the best of both worlds, Dave. Give me the biggest surprise teams you got. Let's start off with the good, and
yeah,
then we'll get to the bad.
Sure. I got Buffalo. You know, I expected them to be a good team again this year, but just the play, they're undefeated, first of all, and the play of Josh Allen, the seeming maturity of him, really passing at a higher percentage. The offense right now, fourth in total offense and second in passing offense, fifth in points per game at nearly 31 points a game. So they are lighting it up. Last year, you know, he was a big factor in their winning, but I think just bringing over Stephon Diggs, really helping out that receiving group, has really made that offense much more dynamic. We knew the defense was good already, but now that offense is cranking, dude.
Yeah, dude, and I'm going to go with the Indianapolis Colts. We thought they would be better. We liked the fit with Phillip Rivers there.
Yeah.
They stumbled out of the gate to those Jags, but this is a team that could be sneaky good come the end of the season. They check all the boxes. Maybe the best defense in the NFL.
Yep.
Rivers is getting, you know, in sync with those receivers there. Him and T.Y., I haven't hit on their potential. And then even though they lost Marlon Mack, the running backs look to be legit there. So I expect big things out of the Colts moving forward.
Me too, yeah. And that offensive line protecting for Rivers can only mean good things for the most part.
All right, Dave, we talked about the good, and let's go ahead and lump the bad and the ugly all together.
I'm going to spread a little of it around, Casey. I'm not going to pick the New York teams at a combined 0-8 because I didn't have any real hopes for them to be any good anyways. but I got it as a tie between the Texans and the Falcons, both 0-4 squads. Those teams I did expect to be in the mix all year for the playoffs, and now they're likely buried at 0-4, dude.
Yeah, dude, you know where I'm going with this one.
Oh,
the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. They're nervous and their socks are too loose. Something's going wrong there. 9 turnovers on the season. And, you know, it looks like a Garrett team. We had high expectations of the Mike McCarthy regime moving in. And so far it has not translated. But, you know, I'm putting this on the players, dude. The leaders of this team need to step up. Dax had some, you know, he's played great, but he's had some points in the pocket where he's just getting hit and fumbled. You don't see that happen to Aaron Rodgers. He's not got that presence that he really needs to have.
Yep.
Back there, Zeke's had a few fumbles, dude. 9 turnovers on the season. And, you know, if this team goes 4-12 and Dak throws for 7,000 yards, who cares? And if the team doesn't make the playoffs, how are you going to justify paying this dude $40 million a year, you know?
Right.
And speaking of paying, Jalen Smith and DeMarcus Lawrence, they got paid. These guys need to start acting like it, dude. I saw on Sunday cats that were uninterested in tackling in that Browns game. So they got to get this thing fixed quick because it's just not being good, dude.
Yeah, the Browns running all over them like that. That is a huge, huge issue, Casey. The good news, I'm the bright side guy over here. That division, Casey, it leaves it wide open for your Cowboys to just, hey, a month from now, they could be sitting on a win streak and in first place. So you got time to get it around, you know, fixed up here. You just got to stack together a couple wins.
All right, Dave, we mentioned the bad teams, and we've already got a coach fired, man. The carousel has already started.
That's right.
It's not Dan Quinn, though.
No. Yeah, we had Adam Gase? No, not him either. We have a lot of potential guys that are feeling this heat up a little bit, Casey. But it was Bill O'Brien fired, and it's a little bit, you know, I mean, it was a very, very difficult schedule, as we know, coming out the gates the first two. Everyone expected them to be 0-2, basically, but maybe to find a way to win and get to 1-3 might have been enough to keep Bill O'Brien around. As far as the coach goes, I think that they've won the division 4 out of the last 5 years, Casey. So in terms of wins and losses, he's done a very good job in winning the division, taking the team to the playoffs.
Well, they've you know, I think this situation specifically, it was Bill O'Brien, the GM, that got Bill O'Brien, the coach, fired, man.
Right.
He did a lot of manipulation, and you can see them missing DeAndre Hopkins.
Oh.
It's clear that was a bad move, and he's just sacking those bad moves as a GM.
Yeah, I think Texans fans would have been okay with him getting fired like the day after he traded Hopkins away. I certainly stacked that on top of the giving up 2 first-rounders and then a ton of cash to Laremy Tunsil. Good player, but man,
yeah.
Wow.
Not helping them win now.
Nope.
All right, Dave, we got a list of guys that aren't going to be helping their teams win anytime soon.
Yeah.
Some more brutal injuries coming from week 4.
Yeah, as the Chargers lose Austin Eckler, their Mr. Dynamic running back. He looked like a pretty severe hamstring. They're saying at least a month he'll be out. Nick Chubb with an MCL sprain, I believe. He's on IR, so that's a minimum of 3 weeks at this point. The Buccaneers were shredding, hitting everybody on the roster for touchdowns last week. O.J. Howard was one of them. Unfortunately, that'll be his last of the season as his Achilles blew out. That one for sure is going to keep him out. Also, McCoy with a bad ankle there, not going to be playing this week. But I don't know if they'll miss him. They have a lot of weapons over there in Tampa.
No doubt. Oh, dude, and the Niners actually had more players to lose. Shockingly, I didn't know anybody else was left on that roster. Kwan Williams, cornerback. Yeah, he's got an ACL sprain, and Ziggy Ansah bicep tear is probably going to put him out. And Dave, more bad news for the Cowboys. They've been hit with the injury bug, too. Lyle Collins, he's done for the year with that hip. And Joe Looney, he made it one play, and then he was out for the Cowboys. So a lot of questions moving forward with the boys, and so far the answer has not been good.
Yeah, no doubt. A couple of years ago, they were arguably the best line in the league. A lot of turnover there, a lot of injury this year, and now both lines of scrimmage for the Cowboys in question.
All right, Dave, Pistons popping. Ain't no stopping now. We're talking survival pool of three strikes.
All right. My pick, Casey, was also the most popular pick. It was our Los Angeles Rams over the New York Giants.
Yeah, I was on that pick, too. And the most popular incorrect pick was my Dallas Cowboys over the Cleveland Browns.
Moving into next week, Casey, the most popular pick is your Cowboys to rebound against those very same Giants that are easy to pick against. That's over 30% of the peeps, Casey. Are you on board with your boys?
Now, I'm going to wait to pick the boys until I see that they don't suck. I don't know if these people have been watching football because that's not what I'm risking my season on. All right, Dave, everybody wants some. I want some, too. We're talking our fantasy go-back starts of the week. Woo. We talk about how competitive our league actually is. Yeah. 10 teams in our league are all tied at 2-2 with just two teams, one at 1-3, the Green Bay Packers, and one team at 3-1, Ronnie James Gorilla Sharks. With a name like that, you deserve to be all alone in first place.
I'll tell you what, man. It is a tight, tight division, a tight league. With my go-back, I could have gotten myself to 3-1, Casey. I'd love to get back in the go-back machine right now and make a couple of switcheroos. I could have had Mark Ingram instead of Austin Eckler and Robbie Anderson instead of D-Hop. But you know what? Those weren't moves I was going to make. It's just that in retrospect, I certainly would have got 14, almost more than 13 more points, and I just lost by one. So, oof, either one of them would have gotten me the win.
Fair warning, Dave. I was pretty good, especially with the scoring eruption from OBJ and Joe Mixon. But with the weirdness that was going on with the Chiefs game Monday night, I benched Tom Brady, TB12, and his 42.46 points. Ooh. But like I said, I benched him for Pat Mahomes, which I will do every week of the season except week 10. But that benching cost me 18.22 points. But yet I still smashed the Hypno Toads for a $5 bonus and still pulled high score of the weekday. That was my first cash of the year.
Yeah, coming from the guy who was bitching and moaning about the COVID-19 crisis impacting his fantasy team, you somehow survived, Casey, the pandemic scare. All right.
I made it through. All right, Dave, let's get to the week 5 action. Did I just say week 5?
Oh, my God, Casey, it's slipping away. Yikes.
Get us started, bro.
All right, man. It's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Chicago Bears. The Bucs coming off that big win are favored on the road by 5.5 in this one. The over-under is at 44.5.
Yeah, we just talked all about Tom Brady and his 369 passing yards and 5 touchdowns.
Yep.
Plug ears real quick, Dave, as the Bucs overcame a 17-point deficit to beat the Chargers. Brady, the third quarterback in NFL history, with 30 career games of 4 touchdown passes. And Bruce Arians came out and said, I don't think we were mature enough to win this game a year ago. The big difference, you had Jameis Winston, and now you have the GOAT,
huh,
man. So, talent move forward. See, that's all it takes, Dave. Just a little switcheroo, you know?
I see how that works.
And know what's crazy, dude? In 20 years, Tom's only got 3 starts in Chicago, but he's made the most of them, over 324 yards a game, 8 TDs, and only 2 interceptions. That gives him a PR of a 103 in Chi-Town. You got that right, baby. Ronald Jones had a nice game last week, 6 catches, 128 scrimmage yards against your Chargers. They didn't have a lot of depth. You mentioned Shady went down and Leonard Fournette wasn't in that game. Hopefully he can get him back. But it was Mike Evans, dude, doing work, bro, with that gimpy ankle. Couldn't slow him down.
Yep.
7 receptions, 122 yards and a TD. He actually leaves the NFL in this season with 5 touchdowns. Fantasy-wise, speaking of, not sure what Godwin's going to do. Scotty Miller last week had 5 for 83 and a touchdown. You mentioned O.J. Howard. He's done for the year.
Yep.
Cameron Brake got involved. He had a touchdown last week, and maybe it's time to pick Gronk up off the waiver wire, man. Scrap him up, dude, and see if he can, reignite that old connection he had with Tommy there up in New England. But this defense, very aggressive, 14 sacks on the year, and back-to-back games with holding the opposing team under 50 yards rushing, man.
Wow.
That is awesome. And even though he was pretty quiet last week against your Chargers, rookie Antoine Winfield has been very good this season, man. Bucks seem to be like they're catching their stride, man.
Yeah, and it's not good news for these Bears who have a very surprising 3-1 record at this point, even though they've benched Trubisky along the way. Nick Foles came in, obviously, when they were down 16 to the Falcons and did what everybody does to the Falcons, Casey. Just came back and won the game in the fourth quarter and destroyed them. And that was that for Trubisky's, possibly his career in Chicago. Nick Foles didn't look quite as awesome last week against a really, really strong Colts defense, and that's a strong Tampa Bay defense he'll be going against this week. David Montgomery also bottled up last week. I believe combined yards less than 60 for Robinson at the running back position, so that does not bode well for this Bears squad heading against that Buccaneers defense, which you were touting, especially the run portion of that defense, that front seven, just absolutely dominant. They're going to have to get something, though, from that ground game, for sure. And they're going to need Allen Robinson to have another spectacular game. He had 100 yards last week and a touchdown. They need more of Jimmy Graham to just sort of, spread the ball out. Foles has got to find a way to get a lot of dudes involved. Again, if they can't establish the ground game against the Bucs, they're going to be in trouble in this one. And obviously, if they're one-dimensional, it is not going to be a good situation.
Yeah, but Dave, these are the monsters of the Midway, bro. Give me some defense here.
Yeah, no. This is not quite as dominant as it was last year, Casey, with Khalil Mack. Obviously, when he first got there, it was insane. They still have, I mean, Roquan Smith is an absolute beast for this squad. 13 tackles and 3 tackles for loss last week. But he's going to have to be all over the place. Robert Quinn, it's a strong defense, and there's a lot of good players. Their total defense is 8th, and their points per game is 7th. It doesn't seem like they're going to be they have made as many big plays, and they're going to have to make some big plays against Tom Brady and these Buccaneers.
Yeah, and this is a little quarterback rematch from a Super Bowl a couple years ago.
Oh.
I wonder if we're going to see a Chi-Town special, baby.
I like football. That, Casey. Good.
All right, up next we have the undefeated Buffalo Bills at the undefeated Tennessee Titans. The Bills are 8-point favorites on the road, and we got an over-under set at 49.
Oof. This is a pretty awesome, awesome game. This one I expect to be real physical. That's how the Titans love to play ball, and the Bills aren't backing down from anything. Buffalo 4-0. They have beaten up on some crappy teams like the Jets and the Dolphins. And they've beaten some better teams like the Raiders and the Rams. So, but they haven't blown anyone out. They've all been pretty close wins, actually. And they had to rally to beat the Rams there, obviously late on that final drive. This one, though, is going to be close also. And so these are both teams that have shown pretty regularly that they can eke out a win when it's really, really close. So it's going to be a tight game in all likelihood. It's going to come down to who makes plays in the fourth quarter. This Buffalo defense is a good defense. There's no doubt, but I don't think they're quite as dominant as they were last year. But again, still a strong running defense, and that's going to be super important in this matchup against Tennessee and Derrick Henry, because Henry continues to run better quarter by quarter. And if it gets towards the end of this game and they've got a chance to just mow it out by running Henry, and the Bills can't stop it, that could be the way this game ends up. If the Bills can stop it, stop that running game and handle Henry, then they're going to have themselves, I think, a better chance to win this ball game, because their offense is more explosive, in my opinion, than the Titans.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game, because obviously the Titans got their bye week early due to the COVID outbreak, and as of Tuesday, no new cases. But the Titans are hoping to get back in their facility on Wednesday, dude. So I don't know how much team activity has been going on for over a week.
Yeah.
They will have a few people in the game. They're going to let 12% of the venue's capacity be in there. So there'll be some people rooting and stuff. And you mentioned these Titans winning close games, dude. All three of their games by a total of 6 points. So they're finding a way to get it done. And there was a close game a few years ago. Remember the Music City Miracle, Dave? That was in 2000.
Oh, man.
Well, Josh Allen was 3 years old when that game went down. So.
He doesn't remember it.
No, he definitely doesn't remember. But you know who does maybe is Ryan Tannehill. This guy has found a home in Nashville. Three straight game-winning drives to open the season, man. He's really striving in this offense, but it's all about Derrick Henry. But the touches on this guy, bro, he's on pace for 437 rushes.
Wow.
So I, even though he's the Predator and huge and all this, I don't know if he's going to be able to hold up with that many touches. Yeah. But once he gets going, he is hard to see. Five last loss to the Bills where he had 20 touches, but he only had 78 yards. But that was still the Marcus Mariota regime there in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So Derrick Henry's going to have to do a little bit more, but I think they can rely on their passing game a little bit more than they could from last year's game. Corey Davis playing pretty good. Yep. He's leading the team in receptions right now. They might not have Adam Humphries there because he got struck with the COVID. So I don't know what the protocol moving in. I know it's a couple of tests. You got to test negative before you can get in the mix, so they might not have him. But that bye week actually helped give A.J. Brown another week, and he should be able to go on Sunday. He'll be a big addition to that pass game.
Sure will.
And the Titans are going to need him. But Jonnu Smith, bro, this guy is an emerging star at tight end, and he's leading these Titans in touchdowns. So hopefully they get Brown back. And then you flip it over to the defensive side. They added Jadeveon Clowney in the offseason, but this defense is still not very good, giving up almost 6 yards a carry on the ground. And they're terrible in the red zone, giving up a ton of points. And you know that's got to eat at a guy like Vrabel, dude. It's driving him crazy. But they play tough and they play hard. This game is going to be a great challenge for these Titans. Battle of the undefeateds, bro. Let's strap it up and see what happens.
Sounds good to me, dude. All right, moving along, Casey. It is the Eagles at the Steelers. Steelers at home, favored by 7, over under 44.5. What do you got?
Oh, the NFC East leading Eagles. That's good. If Boy Shep is listening to this, that
Eagles.
Will make him happy. So typical, dude. And this has been them the last couple of years. A ton of injuries. Carson playing like crap. No known receivers, and yet they're all alone in first place. We're not going to say anymore that it's just a one win. We're just going to call them a first place team. Carson Wentz not playing good football, dude. 8 turnovers on the season, 7 of which are interceptions.
Wow.
But he's got no one to throw to, bro. Miles Sanders is running okay, but we haven't seen any of the big explosive plays like he had last year, and maybe that's due to all the shuffling on the offensive line. There's guys moving in and out of there. I don't know who the hell is playing at tackle on either side right now.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Lane Johnson leave, and I think they have a rookie at left of tackle too. Dallas Kurtz hurt. Zach Ertz has hurt feelings. He's not getting that contract. Waiting for D-Jax and Alshon Jeffrey to get healthy. Both have been struggling with injuries. Greg Ward is leading this team in receiving, Dave. That's a quarterback.
Oh.
So,
that's not good.
Despite all that, these guys are in
first place.
You know why they're in first place? That defense is still legit, especially up front with Graham and Cox. Last week against the Niners, 3 huge takeaways. Rodney McLeod got that interception in the red zone against the Niners, halted a scoring drive. And then in the fourth quarter, down 14-11, Crevion LeBlanc force fumble in Mullins. That set up that Carson Wentz 42-yard bomb to Travis Fulgham. Who? Travis Fulgham.
Fulgham, of course.
All right, just put another cab driver in there. Yeah, that gave the Eagles the lead, and then that gift of a six pick to Alex Singleton kind of sealed the deal. So Philly relying on that defense, and so far they've been up to the challenge. But, man, the way the Steelers are playing, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, let's go into these Steelers and the way the Steelers are playing. Let's start it off with Ben Roethlisberger, quarterback rating of 105.27 TDs, just one pick on the season. He is absolutely playing some exceptional football. Arguably, possibly the comeback player of the year after missing almost all of last year, of course. Yeah. And the Steelers team has done all that, those seven TDs and just one pick in just three games, of course. So, yeah, he's off to a heck of a start for this season. So last game, two touchdowns, zero picks, modest performance of 237 yards. James Conner, though, on the ground last game, 149 scrimmage yards, so rushing and receiving, but over 100 rushing the football. They're pounding the rock pretty well with the Steelers there, no doubt about that. And then, you know, Juju Smith is really feeling a lot more confident and comfortable now that he's not dealing with the, you know, all of the B-level quarterbacks that he had to work with all last year when all the pressure came on him as the number one. James Washington, five grabs in week three. Eric Ebron, five grabs and a score in week three. So Big Ben's moving the ball around, getting different guys involved, working in a very efficient manner, and they're also pounding the rock, like I said, with James Conner running the football too. Benny Snell also involved in the run game. But on the defensive side, they are playing exceptionally well, Casey. This defense has been really, really stout. I believe they're top five in points given up. So I think they are fifth, in fact, giving up just 17.8 points, Casey. So a real impressive defensive unit thus far. T.J. Watt, 3.5 sacks on the season. He got those in the last 2 weeks. So they were really difficult to run on in the first handful of weeks in this season. So Bud Dupree playing good football, too, with a sack and a half last outing. So this group has been extremely good defensively. It's going to be licking its chops, dude, knowing all of those Eagles offensive linemen that are not going to be in this lineup, and they're going to just be throwing the kitchen sink at Carson Wentz, who's been taking a ton of sacks on the season. Look for that to be a huge issue for the Eagles and a huge advantage for this Steelers team.
Bragging rights for the state of Pennsylvania on the line there, Dave.
That's right. That is right.
All right.
Man.
Let's talk about a couple of your favorite teams.
Oh.
The Las Vegas Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Chiefs are 13-point favorites with over a 56.5.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, I mean, obviously, everybody, when you're playing the Chiefs, and you're, I mean, it's in Kansas City, the best thing you can say is there won't be the sea of red and the incredible high decibel volume to deal with.
Just like a little trickle of red, not a sea, a little trickle of brook.
I'm sure they'll have I think they will have a handful of fans, but not many, Casey. That's good news for Derek Carr. He's having a great season, statistically speaking. Eight touchdowns and zero picks on the season with a 113.6 rating. Really running the ball well with Josh Jacobs, too. You know, he's a hard, physical runner, you know, and he has given the Chiefs trouble in the two meetings last year. I think he averaged over 100 yards against them. So Carr moving the ball, though, around. They still kind of looking for, I guess, guys to explode, but tight end Darren Waller has been an enormously exciting player for this squad.
And Aguilar, dude, if you're still hunting on the free agent waiver wire, he's been a nice fantasy
option. That's true. And Jason Witten, your old Cowboy friend there, Casey, a touchdown last week, so the savvy old vet can still get it done. And then Hunter Renfro is that sneaky good deal guy that can get open any old time, right? And, of course, the rookie receiver, who am I looking for, Casey?
Ruggs.
Yes, Ruggs, right. That dude also is frighteningly scary. So
He's got to get healthy, though, man. Right. That dude's been banged up. So
yeah.
Him and Edwards both, I don't know if they're both out moving forward, but they need him back.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a significant loss when you need the firepower when you're going against the Kansas City Chiefs squad.
Oh, you mean the 4-0 Kansas City
Those
Chiefs that have gone 4-0 for four straight years, the first team in the NFL ever to do it?
Yeah.
That Kansas City Chiefs team?
I hear they're 4-0. Is that
4-0, four straight years. Yeah. Crazy, dude. And they are the only team in the history of the NFL to get back-to-back Monday Night Football wins, too. and I don't think we'll see that happen again. And, 4-0, and 13 straight wins dating back to last season. And this offense, dude, where do you start? It's really pick your poison with these guys. You can try to take away whichever weapon you like, but Mahomes just moves on to the next one. You know, there was no Kelsey really, no Kelsey touchdowns on Monday, no Hilaire touchdowns, but it didn't matter. They still got it, Dave. Because this offense is so inventive, so much misdirection, motion, and speed. Dave, I'm talking full blast and top down, hot shoe burning down the avenue speed, bro. I just mentioned everyone knows Kelsey and Tyreek Hill, but Sammy Watkins is really off to a fantastic start, and Mecole Hardman is becoming a legitimate weapon as well. But, Dave, these guys lucked out. You talked about you're supposed to get the scraps at the end of the first round.
Yeah, not the case.
No,
they scored.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the perfect fit for this offense. 432 scrimmage yards so far. And we see Andy Reid just figuring out more creative ways to use this guy each week. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the season, man, it's going to be deadly for this team.
Yeah.
Or the team's trying to stop these guys. But this defense also on a steady ascent since about week 10 of last season. Four takeaways on Monday night, including a Honey Badger pick six. Only 10 points given up, and they did this all without Chris Jones last week. They just sat him because he wasn't feeling good. That's how confident they are that you can sit your best player because you just want to get him
and
right.
And he is so disruptive, man. Jones.
Oh, yeah, can change a game, dude. And then, the Cowboys are so crappy on defense, yet I find three former Cowboys on this defense, and they're all making plays.
Uh-oh.
They all look pretty damn good. One was eating tacos on the sideline after a huge sack on Monday night, dude. I don't know what's going on, but, man, this Chiefs team is gearing up for another run. If they didn't have the offsides a couple years ago, they could be looking at a three-peat here. I know it's early in the season, but Mahomes just seems to figure out whatever you throw at him, and this team is just so impressive, man. It's a tall tale for these Raiders.
Yeah, it is, and the Chiefs have beaten the Raiders 10 of the last 11, Casey, so, those numbers don't go well.
Dave, I think that streak, I know I've been talking Van Halen, but this one goes to 11. All right, Dave, we got one more awesome game of Battle of 3-1 teams. It's the Indianapolis Colts at the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
The Colts are 2.5-point favorites on the road with an over of 47.
Wow, and this is going to be a pretty fun game because both of these teams have really put together a couple of good performances. Obviously, the Browns happy with themselves from last week, but the Colts, after dropping that week one game, as you mentioned, have run three straight wins in a row there. So I think that Rivers finding himself in this offense, this offensive line giving Rivers as much, if not more, time than any quarterback in the league, and that's bad for defenses because Rivers does know how to read defenses, carve them up, and throws great anticipation passes. And he's been flustered in the pocket with no offensive line protection for years now, so he knows how to get the ball out. But this offensive line is really protecting for him. The loss of Mac early on in the season was a big setback for what we saw as a really great running back room, you know. But the rookie Jonathan Taylor has performed admirably, and that, like I said, the O-line is just pokes holes in defenses. So there's room to gain there. There's room for that offense to develop in the run game. Hines, the other back, is also a pretty nice contributor to this group. T.Y. Hilton is, of course, the main dude there, Casey, but he really hasn't really got on track this year as much as you would hope, getting on the same page as Phillip Rivers. There's, I think, again, a lot of room to grow there. This Colts team not necessarily blossoming right out the gates, but I really love Frank Reich and that matchup, burying him up with Rivers and the two sort of brains there that they have. Mo Alie-Cox, Casey, a TD last week, and we mentioned him on our little fantasy show as somebody that you might want to grab a hold of. So good call on that one last week, Casey. And then the wide receiver, Zach Pascal. He's coming along too. So getting some contributions there. And obviously defensively, this Colts team is extremely, extremely tough, man.
Yeah, dude, I just wanted to go with Frank Reich and Phillip Rivers melding of the minds again. These guys had a lot of success in San Diego. They're basically the same brain on this offense.
Yeah.
And they're eventually going to get Michael Pittman Jr. in there. But you started going on the defense. This might be the best defense in the NFL.
Yeah, they've been playing exceptionally, exceptionally well. So, obviously, DeForest Buckner, who they traded for prior to the season, has really made that defensive front much, much more stout. He comes with such power and strength there. Linebacker Darius Leonard is just a Mr. Everything guy all over the field. It's just a really strong, strong unit that's playing exceptionally well together. And it is a tough group to score on. Although this Browns offense is clicking on all cylinders coming in from last week. So we'll see what the Colts can do to slow them down.
Yeah, Dave, even though the Colts have a little horseshoe on their helmet, these aren't the Cowboys that the Browns saw last week. There's going to be a huge difference in the defenses there. But let's start with these Browns on offense. Baker Mayfield had a really clean game last week, only 30 attempts, which they would like to keep him under.
Right.
Two touchdowns, no interceptions. And it helps him when he gets OBJ going early. OBJ just says, oh, I want to win. But he does look pouty and petulant on the sidelines when he's not involved. And Stefanski even said, I got to get this guy involved early. And when you do, you see the dividends. I mean, there's no debating that this guy was a huge weapon. So get him going early and fast. You mentioned Chubb's out. He's got the MCL sprain. He's probably going to be out until, I don't want to speculate, I hope it's not 6 weeks before their bye week, week 10, when they say might come back, because I do have him in my other league. But Kareem Hunt was kind of banged up going in that game, and he still ran for almost 100 yards against the Cowboys. He had two touchdowns, but DeErnest Johnson, they were just grabbing guys, vendors. Hey, you want to run? Come on, everybody get a chance, dude. They could have rolled out Biner last week, and he would add 100 against my Cowboys. But Stefanski is committed to running the rock with these guys, and you just saw complete domination with that offensive line. I mean, they were just blowing the Cowboys' defensive front off. And by late in that game, dude, nobody was interested in tackling. So we'll see if they can get that kind of physicality with the Colts. It's going to be a lot tougher there. Mm-hmm. But then you flip it over to the defense. And up front, they're pretty good. Myles Garrett, he had a sack fumble that set up a score for the Browns. Sheldon Richardson taking up space up front. He had a couple sacks in his last couple games. And Denzel Ward, he was a little bit banged up, but he looks like he's getting healthy too. So this is a great barometer to see what kind of 3-1 these Browns actually are, because if they think it's going to be easy like it was last week, they're in for a rude awakening. But it's good to be 3-1. They're right there in the mix in the division.
Yep.
And if they could somehow win this game, they're going to put the league on notice that the Browns are shutting down that factory of sadness, but that's TBD, bro.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves. This is a, like you said, it's a big game, though, facing a legitimate squad in these Colts.
Yeah. All right, Dave, as you might have noticed, I peppered in some Van Halen references throughout the show just for us to show a little love to Mr. Edward Van Halen, who just passed away. Obviously, Van Halen, one of the biggest rock bands ever, but Eddie's playing unmistakable. As soon as you heard it, you knew exactly who was playing that riff, Dave. The people might not know, but you shred on a guitar yourself. You got any thoughts on Eddie's legacy?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt, Casey. It's a sad day. It's a huge loss. But, you know, obviously an innovator on the guitar, the two-hand tapping. He was sort of early pioneer of that. And like you said, such a distinctive style, such a fun band. Just the, you know, the party rock and roll kind of vibe. And just, it's just a terrible shame at this point. You know, I'm kind of at a loss for words more than anything. You just hope that a guy like that would be able to live out his life, you know, and still enjoy all of that, you know, the tail end of all of that. But shame, pretty young at this point to have lost Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, and for the cats that don't know, you hear that guitar playing on Michael Jackson's Beat It. That was Eddie Van Halen. R.I.P. Eddie, and our thoughts go out to the Van Halen family.
Yep.
All right, Dave, to switch it up a little bit, try to get feeling good about some football, want to let the people know there are so many ways to check out the Football Dudes. This podcast, if you stumbled across it, it's available for subscription on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Blueberry Podcasting, or wherever the hell you get your podcast. Let your friends know. Sign up, subscribe. We really appreciate that. And subscribe to our YouTube channel and check out our Extronomical Fantasy Show. Got that for you every Friday.
Nice.
Like us on Instagram and Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at FootballDudesLA.
Or Casey, just go over to footballdudes.com where it's all there waiting for you.
All right, that is going to do it for this episode of The Trend Zone. For Dave, I'm Casey. We're out of here.